Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Your hands to yourself.
You know who this is, Dan?
Come on.
That's not George Thorogood. Come on.
It's not ZZ Top.
You know, you're close with George, though.
George.
Sata. Georgia Sata.
I'd go with lights, Dan. Just go with lights.
Georgia Satellite.
Oh, I don't know who that is. No, I don't know who that is.
His first name's George. His middle name's His last name's Satellite.
George Satellite. Well, but to your point about music and George, last week I was really impressed when you guys played the He's So Fine and My Sweet Lord, and you thought of the
Harrison. Identical.
That was good. That was good.
Identical.
Yeah, that was good. So, yeah, I don't know that this. I know the song.
Why are we playing this?
Yeah,
for Georgia?
This?
Atlanta.
Can we play like some Ludacris?
Georgia
or something?
And we can't, but Danzin.
Satellite with
so we need to be as honkyish as possible.
Dark, let's the laser,
laser satellite.
As if this show wasn't white enough.
Cockpit. I mean,
we need Ray Charles, Georgia on My Mind. That's what we need.
It's yeah. Good one,
sweet Georgia. Good stuff. What about? Never mind.
Okay,
I was gonna say
okay.
The Cheech and Chong video, the one where they hey, you want to see me turn this into a piece of fruit? Ain't that a peach? I was thinking Georgia peaches, but it doesn't really. Never mind.
All right, Pete's in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, for my money, the best entertainment in sports right now is watching Tom Brady go against Patrick Mahomes, and I don't even think it's close. I don't know your thoughts on that, but that was. Just the, both games were amazing. They
two epic games. I mean, just think about the points scored in both those games.
But it's not only that. It's just the whole, the older guy, the newer guy, and the way they both play differently. It was just, to me, it's just amazing. But, hey, real quick, guys, you know, the controversy that happened in the Saints, don't you think that that game should have never came down to that? Because I thought the Saints, I'm still trying to figure out how New Orleans lost that game.
Well, clock management, for one.
Because they had the kick after that, you end up having a tie, and it just shrinks the field. And they got the game, they got the ball in overtime and threw the pick.
No, I'm just saying, it's just like New Orleans dominated like the first half their home. And I know the fake punt would basically save the Rams, but it just looked like that whole game was about New Orleans, and it should have never came down.
I get what you're saying, Pete. You're saying that they let them hang around, and you should have never let them hang around in that game. They were the better team.
To Beatles' point, he settled. Yes. Goff settled down, and they figure out some ways to get him the ball, get the ball out of his hand, make some plays downfield. They were up 13-0 in that game. They're going to run away with that. I thought it was going to be a blowout. I thought Goff, too, was in over his head at the beginning. Never did I think Mahomes was in over his head. He just looked a little unsteady, but he settled down nicely.
Yeah, well, here's sort of my thought on it. So let's say they give him the call, right?
Yeah.
P.I., first down, spot foul.
Ball, they end up running in, they end up winning the game.
Well, do you know that they get in?
They would have got in.
Yeah. We don't know that, though.
They move the ball well down
there. We don't know that. Really? They move the ball well down there?
What are you typing, Dan?
You're on a show here. You're on a live television.
Nobody was asking me anything.
So you're just going to take the segment off.
I mean, let's just say this. So they were facing a third down there, right? They're facing a third down.
Oh, boy.
And because they hadn't moved the ball, right? I mean, you don't know that it's a given that they get in the end zone there. It's not a given. Nothing's a given. It wasn't like the ball was getting put at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, but the clock would have been nothing, and they would kick the field goal to win at the buzzer.
I get what you're saying.
Hey, you say you hate saying the buzzer. As regulation ended.
Yeah, I get
what you're
saying. I get what you're saying. Time is a big factor there, too. Yeah. That makes sense.
I mean, that game was under 2 minutes here, and they were driving, man. They were going in for the game-winning score.
Right. You can run a play. You
that
can run the clock.
Nuts. You get
a
first
goal.
And goal at the five. Yeah. You're taking your two backs with Kamala, and you're just going right in. Yeah.
That's Kamala, right? That's a wrestler. Kamara.
Calvin Kamara.
Kamala.
617-779-0985. But I get that point. The Saints looked like the much better team in that game, and the Rams just...
I thought the Rams stole it. Rams stole it and took it from them.
Yeah, and they used that to their... Because after that...
Hey, they went on
a road
too,
the Saints
man.
Still had an opportunity. They got the ball in overtime. The same way the Patriots got the ball in overtime. But now, all of a sudden, you got to change the overtime rules again. So
well,
here comes that discussion
both road teams,
again.
Both road teams earn trips to the Super Bowl, and both road teams take it to overtime to win it.
Beadle, I do have something to say about the overtime.
Which is what?
Which is the Patriots have benefited from that like nobody's business. Now, they take care of business. But three times they have won a huge postseason game, and they're all huge, without the other team touching the ball.
No,
even before and after the rule change. The Tuck game went that way.
No, I can tell you, as players, we hated sudden death. You hated the ability for, say,
yeah, but
you get
you
a kick
played at sudden death where you could settle it just based on a
field goal.
Right, and that was the Tuck game. Oakland never got a chance there. Now, in the Super Bowl against Atlanta, and this thing we just saw, it's coin flip.
Now, if you can't stop them going 80 yards, that's on you.
It's different, Dan, when you go 80 yards.
But how would people feel here if they had lost three playoff games during this time in which they never touched the ball? Would they take responsibility for it? Or would it be the competition committee would be here?
You'd hammer the head coach and the defensive-minded head coach that couldn't stop a team from going 80 yards.
I think you'd be a lot of complaining about
I don't love the overtime rules.
I don't
love them, Dan.
I think this is better. This is better than sudden death. This is better than sudden
this
death.
This is better than it college. That's
better
for
than
sure.
College, better than sudden death, but still a lot on Matthew Slater calling heads.
I would not be opposed to a system in the playoffs where you both get possession, where you're both guaranteed a possession. But in the regular season, too bad.
Yeah. I get that. And again, but in this particular matchup with Mahomes and Brady, if you did this with the regular season game they played in October or this thing, you kind of felt like whoever had the ball last was going to win the game. And when the Patriots won the coin flip, Mahomes.
But here's
not
the problem,
the ball again.
You're opening yourself up to playing far too long. So the Patriots drive the field, they score the touchdown. And then the Kansas City Chiefs drive the field and score the touchdown. Then it's next team scores. And it's like, what are you doing?
How much faith do you have that the Patriots would have kept them out of the end zone if they had lost the coin flip?
And I think
at that point, Zoe?
Oh, not good.
Not good at all.
Coin flip's a little too big there.
Yeah, in that particular game.
The way those two teams were playing.
That's why Slater is so excited.
Were.
We want the ball.
Yeah.
We'll take the ball.
Yeah.
You knew you were going to win. Yeah.
So what do you do after each team scores then? If you think the last team with the ball is going
to
win,
you have to keep
Patriots
playing
get the ball for a
until
third
someone
time and
doesn't
then win.
Score. It just takes too much.
But if you're under the belief that the team that has the ball last is going to win, then the Patriots still would have won the second possession.
Right. He's right, Dan.
Well, yeah, but to make it a tie game.
No,
I understand.
No.
A headache.
If you win the flip, Dan, right?
Who's on first?
And you score, and then you give the ball back to the Chiefs, and they score, and then the next score finally wins. Well, then it still comes back to who won the coin toss.
Yeah. I don't know how to make it better.
You know what?
But there's something.
Thank you. At least you're admitting that.
No, I understand.
I don't like
I understand.
It. They're too
it's
lucky.
Still,
I don't know how to make it better.
It still feels a little imbalanced, but don't let the team drive the field to score a touchdown on the one possession. The one possession. You have to stop them in this game. But this is anything else. Even if there's a second left on the clock, there's still a chance. If you allow them to go down the field and score a touchdown on this possession, you lose the game. Can you stop them? And the answer was no. And they deserve to lose the game.
Well, but the Patriots probably could not have stopped them either. The way that game was trending at that point, that's how it felt.
And if the Patriots could not stop them on that one drive after shutting them out in the first half, then guess what? The Patriots would have deserved to lose that game too.
I mean, both teams scored two times in the last 3:32 of that game.
Okay.
I mean, it was like, you got the ball, you're scoring. Here we go. That was happening. So I just, again, what would the narrative be around here if they had lost the coin flip and lost the game because they couldn't stop Mahomes? Would it be our defense didn't get the job done? Or would
it be
your
defense
the system
takes that narrative?
I'll tell you what it would be. I know who we would have been blaming. I can tell you exactly who it is. In fact, I'll save that name and tell you who it is after the action update. It's a defensive player. I'll tell you who we would be putting a lot on, and someone who I think is skating a little bit because the Patriots won the game. We'll talk about it next.
Now a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's action update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. WGN America's Pure is based on the true events of the Mennonite mob. Think Breaking Bad meets Witness meets Narcos. Series premiere Wednesday at 10, 9 Central, only on WGN America. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The Patriots continue to be mostly 2.5-point favorites for the Super Bowl. As for prop bets that are being posted around Las Vegas, the Westgate has made Tom Brady the even-money favorite to be the game's most valuable player. The Rams' Jared Goff is 2-1. Running backs Sony Michel of New England and Todd Gurley of L.A. are next at 16-1, with the Rams' C.J. Anderson 20-1. Michelle is also the 6-1 favorite to score the game's first touchdown. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Helmet side is heads, the T-side is tails, helmet is heads, T-side is tails. New England, again, you're the visiting team. It's your choice.
Heads.
Heads. Heads is the call.
Matthew Schletter.
It is heads.
You want the ball.
He called it.
He wins the toss.
And he won it.
We'll receive.
All right, who do you think that player is? That one player.
That's Matthew Schletter right there.
What? No. I'm talking about the player that would be on the hook.
Oh, yeah.
So to speak.
I don't know. This is your thing, man. Who you got on the hook?
I think that it would be Jason McCourty for giving up a big play, the Sammy Watkins play, the 38-yard play with under 3 minutes to go. It's Jason McCourty that blew the coverage on that, and that's why you had the Chiefs at the 2-yard line and then in for the score with Damian Williams, which at that point, it's like, let them in. Let them in. I mean, we were all like yelling, let them score. You should have just let him score on that particular play. Let Sammy Watkins into the end zone there. That's the play where you just look at it and say, come on, you can't have those type of plays in the final minutes of the game. You got to do a better job than that. And maybe it was some sort of blessing in disguise and that it left the Patriots.
They didn't drain. They didn't drain
the
clock.
I guess.
Because next play, they let them go right in.
If you're going to score and they're going to score, you would prefer they do it with 2 minutes than with, 10 seconds left, and you lose.
But they knew it, too. They knew Scar had him, that we can move the ball in this defense. Let's get the ball back in Tom's hands. And, Kansas City right now should be getting killed for the defense, too. Mm-hmm. Like, from the Kansas City aspect of it.
Yeah, it was weak.
The dejection, you see these kids crying, the players crying, going back up the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And it's defensive guys crying. Like, you blew the game, man.
Yeah. No, you're
right. You couldn't stop Brady.
They show that.
You couldn't get off the field on third down, third and 10. Do you know Brady's hit on his last four straight third down plays of third and 10 or more?
There were three in that series. And they would have had to punt on the first two for sure. I mean, that was incredible.
I actually.
You could also make the case, by the way, you could also make the case that it would be, J.C. Jackson on the final drive, the play that actually got them into field goal range.
You could be blamed for not put one of your big guys out there, and you go with the four dime look underneath, where you're running around chasing guys with Jonathan Jones, J.C. Jackson, and the other rook. What else is his name? Crossing got in there at times. Great minds think alike, though.
Yeah. Oh my God.
This is like we just had the break, and I'm screaming out the door. I said, "Hey, this is this Super Bowl stuff." As we start talking about this game and we get down there, the one thing from the Boston perspective, we're not jumping on the beat L.A. stuff.
Doesn't work.
Okay. Dan Shaughnessy just dropped a column. As I was saying that, going out, there's a great minds think alike. It doesn't work, right?
No.
Yeah. This is a Celtic thing. This is a deserved, honored,
it is.
Earned Celtic thing.
I tried. There's too many things about it that just don't work. I mean, even when the Dodgers played the Red Sox,
I was goofy then.
It didn't work. And they tried. They had to use basketball to push it. Before Game 5, they showed the Larry Magic video out there. They couldn't even make it work as Boston LA. It's just and the Rams are still the St. Louis Rams to most of the country. I mean, it's been 3 years they've been out there. But LA, I talked to Bill Plaschke, the columnist in LA. He says, yeah, the Raiders have been the pro team here for a long time, and it really hasn't. You know, they're still getting used to the Rams. 3 years there, they don't have the identity as L.A., and there's no Boston L.A. Right. thing that you can attach to this. I said, you know, Trey Flowers tackling Goff is not going to remind you of Rambis, you know, getting taken down by Kevin McHale. It's just stuff. It's just not working. Can't
Good.
Do it.
So bury
Can't
it.
Do it.
Yep. Let's not embrace that. No. You're better than that.
Don't try it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not Atlanta. You're not Arizona.
Can't
use beat
LA.
It's Edelman. Not beat LA. It's just
Edelman.
Beat the Rams.
Edelman made enough money off those shirts last week. He doesn't have to do this again. He's way better than this.
Colin in Miami has a point on the laser pointer. Ooh. Hi, Colin.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
I got a quick question. You know, let's say it was the Patriots pointing the laser pointer and people actually cared about it. What kind of punishment could the league levy on the Chiefs? Would it be a team thing, or would it be like
it's a fan thing. You don't levy anything on a team.
Yeah, you can't.
You can't do it.
So if you have a fan that throws a beer bottle and hits somebody in the head and can cause a concussion, is the team getting sued, or is that fan getting banned and thrown out of the stadium?
How about throws a beer in the face of a player?
Right.
Yeah, that sip of beer. But, I mean, they can, at least in the game, they do like a personal foul or something for an interruption. So, I don't know. I was wondering if they could do anything.
If
it continued, and this happened one time and one time only, and it's when Sam Weish took over the mic. He took over the ref's mic. They were throwing stuff on the field in Cincinnati, and it was against Cleveland, and it was the old Cincinnati Stadium. And stuff was being thrown onto the field in the end zone, and the ref goes, please stop throwing it. If this continues to happen, we're going to assess a 15-yard penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Cincinnati. And Steve Weish grabbed the mic and goes, grow up, everybody. We don't live in Cleveland. And the place went nuts. Yeah. And it stopped. So it's just that one moment where I can remember something like that, to where you say something, you know, please refrain from doing this.
Did Brady even realize it was going on?
Probably not.
Did he even see it?
I doubt it.
Don't you have to directly shine it?
I think they were probably, that was probably what they were trying to do.
It's probably coming from the upper deck down.
He didn't even flinch. It didn't look like he even noticed it. And if he did notice it and then he complained to the refs that, hey, look, well, then I think you had a different story. Then I think they might stop and try and figure out where it's coming from.
Right. Right. But that seems to me like, based on looking at the video, it's an upper deck thing because of the size of the dot. Like, you're so far away, they look like a pretty big sized dot. If you're close to the guy, it's like a pinhole. You know? So.
All right, let's go to Ryan in Manchester. Oh, what's up, Ryan?
Hey. There you are again. What's up?
Not there.
Nope.
Steve in Plymouth. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Hey, good. I've been a fan since the Jim Plunkett days, so I go back a ways.
Right.
But
yeah, 16.
yeah, we suffered a lot back then, so it's been a nice run. I wanted to see what your take was. I think my take on Gronkowski's season this year, and not that he isn't an awesome blocker, but that they're protecting his back from getting hit going across the field, getting hit in the back until the postseason. Was wondering what your thoughts were there.
Okay, do you think Gronkowski preserved himself due to the back to save it for the postseason?
No, I said it earlier. I think he's the same guy, and they're just deploying things better. I think that having Dorsett out there along with Hogan, it just seems like their offense is flowing better post-Gordon. That's part of it. So I just think they're, you know, hey, if it deems me, like, they're not going up the seam. They're still not running the old Gronk vertical seam plays up. They tried it once against the Chargers. Brady chewed them up for breaking the route off, but they didn't go back to it. It's still the drag stuff. They've been doing the same thing all year.
I got a football trivia question for you guys.
Which is?
All right, so the coach of the Rams, Sean McVay.
Yes.
What Patriot did he play against in college?
Julian Edelman.
Oh, you know this. Yeah. How the games go?
I don't really
know. I have it right here.
What do you got?
Who did McVay play for?
Okay, it's the Kent State Golden Flashers against Miami of Ohio Redhawks.
So he played for Miami of Ohio.
He's Miami of Ohio. And obviously Edelman's a quarterback. So it was they played twice, September 2006, October 2007. Excuse me. Yeah, and they each won one game. And McVay's a wideout. So, this could be the rubber match for them. The Redhawks got revenge 2013 and 2007. Edelman did not have his most efficient
maybe,
day. 19
maybe,
of 33.
This is, maybe if you're Tangway.
This is exhilarating stuff.
No,
right
seriously,
here.
Like that Tangway Takes America thing. So, so Tangway leaves.
Can I ask you a question? Why?
It's pretty cool that Edelman played against the coach of the other team. That's all. That's all.
All right.
Yeah. And so, and the Patriot coach is twice as old as the LA coach. It's 66 and 33 because McVay's birthday is tomorrow. He would have been Dan's dates. He's 33 years old tomorrow. That can never happen.
It's worthy of a mention.
One coach is double the age of the other guy.
Is that out of the way from heading to Atlanta, going to Ohio? Like, say if you're Tanguay, wouldn't you say Tanguay takes
a minute? I don't think you would go through Ohio to get to Atlanta.
Hello.
Is that the Frisco video?
Frisco.
I texted him.
We have to leave a day earlier than scheduled because we have to go to Obi Melifonwu's middle school, and that's out in Arkansas. So we're going to have to go do that.
I texted Gary, please keep the videos coming. We find great hilarity in them, and we also play them during the show, so we'd like to promote your trip.
Sure.
So I just hurry back, get back to you. Just stop and get something to eat now. Like, didn't you leave like 2 hours ago?
Dave must have been going 105 miles an hour because we made it to New York in like, what would you say, Adam? Like an hour and 5 minutes?
That was last year's video, right? Yeah, that was last year's video.
Well, if he was going 105, were you only 105 miles away?
So at like 9 o'clock, he posted a video of him saying goodbye to Frisco as he's leaving. I texted him an hour ago, please keep the videos coming. We want to play them throughout the course of your trip. We find great hilarity.
Hello.
And he responded, we'll stop and get something to eat. We'll get a video going and later on in the afternoon. So he stopped to eat 2 hours into the trip.
Got to eat before he left.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times. You
know. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Hi, puppy. I'm gonna miss you, doggy. Gonna be gone for a couple of weeks. Che Harris, Dave the Mustache McCarthy, Adam Hart swinging by to get me. Our trip to Atlanta. What are you sniffing? Sniff through, Trip to Atlanta is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Tune-Up. Yes, who's a good boy? Who's a good boy? First stop, going to be Monmouth, New Jersey. The home. That's what I'm talking about, Frisco. The collegiate home of Chris Hogan. So we're going to talk to his coach, his strength coach, coming up this afternoon. Atlanta a bus, baby. Yes, I'm picking the patch. Tanguay Takes America Part 3 gets underway in mere moments.
Hold on.
Let this ride.
Georgia. Georgia. The whole day through.
Can we have the intern go back and go through just Gary's tweets over the football season? Where after every road loss, I think he pounded, they aren't going to the Super Bowl, people. Get it through your thick heads. It's not their year. He's picking the Pats before they leave.
Goodbye, Frisco.
Hello.
Isn't it sad that the only living being in his household that's going to miss him is the dog?
Like, Randy went to work. Kids are in school.
Kids are like, see ya.
Like, look, Gary, bye, go, Dad. Leave.
Frisco. Do you know what Tangway's day consists of? He gets up in the morning and he told me that he drives the dog.
Well, he said he has slippers.
He drives the dog to, like, doggy daycare, and I'm like, what? Why?
You're home all day.
Why? You work at night.
He said the dog would chew through the drapes.
He said the dog, it's not quite a doggy daycare, but it's like a farm where they take dogs so the dogs can go out and play with all the other dogs all day, like out in the field.
No, it's a place where people are so stupid that you think your dog cares if you ever leave your house because the dog would lay on its back and sleep and fold sun patches, that they will take your money and your stupidity as you pull up. Here comes another fool with his dog. That's 25 for the day. Thank you. Put the dog out back. Put it in there. Put the sun patch on. These morons with these doggy daycare things. Oh, yeah, we care about your dog.
A dog. It's a big dog. He needs a dog to get out and move and run, and he does that.
Why didn't Gary take him out and let him run around?
Gary's tired.
Take him to a dog park.
Gary's got to get ready for the 6:30 show. Gary's got to get ready for the 6:30 show. It's a big show.
Gary goes to work like midday, so he's around in the morning, but he drops the dog off.
So Gary's around from
the doggy farm.
The time he gets up to about 2 or 3 o'clock, and then the kids get home from school around 3-ish. And that's kind of when my kid. When do your kids get home from school? My kids get home around 3.
That's probably for work.
Well, what time does he leave for work?
Probably like noontime.
Gary Lee's
you ever see the updates? He's on the updates during Thunder Mass in the afternoon. Like he breaks in. I don't know.
So the dog can't.
1 o'clock he leaves.
So you can't like have lunch, let the dog out. The dog can't hang around for 2.5 hours till the kids.
Yeah, it feels like the dog would be okay.
Yeah.
If Gary's home and the kids are home.
If the dog had a good workout in the morning, a little walk, and play.
I think he picks the dog back up before he goes to work, though. But the dog, you know, goes get loose.
So the dog,
Frisco.
He takes the dog, leaves it, then goes, picks it up, then comes back and showers and then goes to work.
I think so. Something like that. He's told me about it before. It's great working afterwards.
It's so tangway. Yeah,
you get the whole house to yourself in the morning. Tangway. Get your day going.
It's just great to be about us down there next week. We're done at 2. So you got the whole day. Done at 2.
We're done at 2 here, too, so.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Getting a number of emails coming in about the game on Sunday. This one from Jonathan, who says, something I don't think is getting enough attention is the fact that both teams purposely allowed touchdowns in the final 2 minutes of the game, in regulation, that is. The Pats cleared out the flat on the Williams run, and the Chiefs knew they'd only need a field goal after allowing the Burkhead touchdown. Both teams knew their defenses were gassed and that their best chance to win was to be the last one with the ball. Love the chess game. Is it chess at that point, or is it just, you know, basically acknowledging the obvious? Score last. Be in the position to score last. Leave yourself time. You're both doing the same thing at that point.
Yeah.
Once they gave up that pass to Sammy Watkins, the Patriots let them score.
Would it be because the Patriots needed the touchdown to take the lead, to get it to the three-point advantage? That doesn't make sense to let Burkhead score.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, you want to play defense and win the game. You want to play defense with that. That doesn't hold. You understand? Patriots were down 4 when they were driving with the first Burkhead touchdown.
No, but what his point is that when you have 39 seconds left to go, give them the space to score, to leave yourself some time to get in a position to kick a field goal.
I disagree with that. I try and stop them and win the game. I want to win because Patriots don't have the option to kick.
I think that. And
you stopped them on 4th and inches.
So do you think that either side allowed?
Except they didn't have a 4th down on that drive.
I understand, but I'm saying if they were at the like one, if, say Burkhead fell down at the 1-foot line just to like kill clock.
So did the Patriots allow the Chargers to score on their second to last drive?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you think the Chargers? Do you think the Chiefs allowed the Patriots to score on their last drive?
No.
From the 4-yard line, possibly.
I don't think so. I think at that point, you pack it in and you try and get a stop.
You got to stop to win the game. You have a chance to win a game there if you stop them.
Your defense
field goal does the Patriots no good.
Your defense had been better, and it had been better in that second half.
See, to guess,
you get up for one more stop, and
Patriots were down 4 to his point, which doesn't hold his argument. You need a touchdown. Field goal does you nothing good. Does you no good. With that 39 seconds.
Yeah, you lose by 1.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think a case could be made that they didn't go on this Burkhead touchdown.
No. They just got their ass blocked on that touchdown. I didn't see anybody giving up. Patriots just stood there and allowed the Chiefs to run in. Chiefs were trying to tackle. They got their ass blocked. That would be a good argument if it was a 3-point game.
Well, still, the Chiefs, their defense... Again, it was the 3rd down plays that killed them because they did stop them for 2 downs, 3 times. 3rd and 10, 3 times. Twice to Edelman, once to Gronk. That's the most impressive thing of the whole thing to me. I mean, at that point, you have to punt the ball. Bill would have had not 4 down territory in those first two. Would have had to punt the ball to them, and then a field goal for them wins it. It feels like that would have been it.
Scott and Weymouth on the overtime rules. Hey, Scott.
What's up? Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's definitely a flawed system, okay? It is ridiculous that a coin flip, I think I have a brilliant idea, quite frankly.
What is it? Let's get to it. How do you fix it is what we're trying to get at.
Okay, I'll skip it. You play, we're going to overtime, we're tied. Yes, you flip a coin, but you know what? You put either a full 15 or 10 minutes on the clock, and you play it out like it's another semi-game. Now, they don't play next basket wins in the NBA overtime. They don't play the next goal wins in hockey in overtime. And in Major League Baseball, both teams get to have a chance to win the game. So that's my thing. I think if I was president, what do they call it, of the league, commissioner, I would say, or especially in the playoffs, by the way, AFC championship game, a coin flip basically decided that because both teams were scoring at will. They should put 10 minutes on the clock, flip the coin like they
do. Even in the regular season?
regular season, you could perhaps do it differently if people get annoyed. I mean, everyone loves football, wouldn't you? Imagine if they reset that clock to 15 minutes for an overtime.
Yeah, that would be insane.
Yeah, it's too
It'd much.
It'd
be awesome.
They
too
are. Much no, it players. Would be terrible.
You can't.
It'd be bad for the game if they did that.
Yeah. Kill guys. Bad for the game. Too much. Too much football. Too much time.
Plus, at the risk of sounding like Felger, enough already. You know? Yeah. You finished that a full term. 15-minute extra extra quarter, and you're still tied. What do you do? Do it again? Enough.
Enough.
Boom.
Boom. Yes. Encouragement.
And hockey is sudden death, by the
yes.
way.
Yeah, of course.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Oh, say blah, 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 blah. Hey, Jim, who's that cat that was in that Mike guy that did the Zolak and Bertrand read? Should maybe help Hardy out with that. Remember, like, Hardy asks, is there a D at the end of Bert? It's not Bertrand. It's Bertrand.
But it's pronounced Bertrand. People don't really don't Bertrand. Do that D justice at the
Marky
end
Bertrand.
Of your name.
Yeah. The guy was sleeping at the Celtic game last night.
That guy. That was the guy. What do we got today, Dan? It's January 22nd.
Well, if it were January 21, it would be the 25th anniversary of Bob Kraft buying the team, but it's not.
And so, it would have been my mother's birthday yesterday.
Oh, it's even better. So today is today's.
Today's game. His first full day of ownership, 25 years ago.
Today. There you go. First
25. First day on the job, yes. So to speak.
Yeah. That's when he liked me. I wrote a column about that, and the next, so the January 22 Boston Globe is framed in Bob Kraft's office. Dan Shaughnessy, right there.
Oh. You're in a press conference. Was,
yeah. Oh yeah.
Was a very, I've read the column. I went back and actually read that column when we did the Kraftwerk podcast.
Yeah, pretty.
I read
stuff.
A lot of stuff from the newspapers at the time to get a feel for the coverage. And
glowing praise of the local man buying the team.
Yeah, Shaughnessy loved him. Loved that he had bought the team.
Yeah, loved him. Yeah, still do. And people that were born on January 22nd: Steve Perry, 70 years old.
Oh, Sherry.
Mike Bossy, Hall of Fame hockey player.
Wow, Bossy, good one. Good sports birthday Bossy. There.
Yeah, yeah. Linda Blair is 60.
Wonder Woman.
What about Diane Lane, who still got the fastball?
She sure
sneaky,
does.
Sneaky. Yeah. Sneaky. Very, very, very underrated good actress.
She's great. I mean, everything about her. You know,
I like all her movies.
She was in a movie with Sir Laurence Olivier.
Under the Tuscan Sun. Some of my favorites.
Yes. Walking around.
Perfectly played that role. Yeah. Maybe I want to move to Tuscany.
How old do you think she is
What
today?
I do in Tuscany, though?
How old is she today?
She's got to be... I'm 53?
54. Yeah. And she was married to Josh Brolin one time. They used to go to the
Are
Lightning
they not married anymore?
I don't know.
Is his dad an actress?
Yeah, James Brolin.
Yeah. There you go.
Married to Barbara Streisand, I think.
I think that's true. That's about
actor,
it for,
not actress.
That's about it for birthdays. People that, things that happened on January 22nd, 1948.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in the birdcage. I don't know.
Make it 1498. Christopher Columbus arrived at the present-day Caribbean island of St. Vincent. It was his third voyage to the Western Hemisphere.
Oh.
Yeah, long time ago.
Like, how do you know? Like, I don't know.
I know. It's like not like the BC thing, which we always challenge,
right.
But that one's legit, I think. Abigail Adams, second First Lady, was born in Weymouth on this date in 1744.
Most patriotic town in America.
And she moved to Quincy.
Where are the libraries?
They don't really have a library.
They're kind of down, understated, I believe.
What library?
The presidential libraries. For John Adams and John Quincy Adams.
They don't have a library.
No, they're in Braintree or Quincy or something.
No, they have Peacefield, which is the Adams mansion. And there's a library on the property that has their books. It's not like a JFK type of presidential library. They also have the birthplaces.
It counts as a presidential library.
Well, they've got the birthplaces in Quincy. They've got the mansion in Quincy. They have their own personal library, which is still intact.
Okay. On this date in 1944, during World War II, the Allied forces began landing in Italy.
Nice.
On this date in 1923, Arthur Miller's Crucible, set during the Salem Witch Trials, that opened on Broadway.
Yes.
Crucible's that thing you put on the end of your finger when you sew, right?
That's right.
You did not know that. Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In launched on this date in 1968, which was popular with us old people.
You talking about a thimble, Zo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In 1970,
trying to add to this program.
On this date in 1971, John Lennon and Yoko Ono recorded Power to the People.
Oh.
Underrated.
Good for them.
Yoko Ono Band.
Everything post-Beatles for John Lennon pretty much sucked.
That song
with
really,
the exception
really
of about three,
stood the test of time.
With the
huh?
exception of about three songs. Everything
what
Lennon
about
did post-Beatles. That's
Imagine?
One of the three songs. Yeah. Sneaky bad post-Beatles career, John Lennon.
Any good Yoko Ono solo stuff?
I gotta say, the four of them, man, talk about being better together.
Oh.
Right? Being greater than the sum of your parts as a group. They were the definition of that.
Well, not only that, but how many songs do you have in you? You know?
Like the Beach Boys when they broke up.
And they were on such a tear in terms of how fast they released work in their prime.
When I was in junior high, Imagine came out, and one of our teachers, we all had to write a poem for class, and a guy wrote, just ripped off Imagine, submitted it, and the teacher, like, stopped the presses. He's like, whoa, listen, everyone, let me read you Scott's poem here. Imagine there's no heaven.
Did anybody rat him out?
No, we're all like rolling on the floor, like, oh, this guy's really good, I guess. You could do that with dumbass teachers. You know, you could have done it to me. On this date in 1973, U.S. Supreme Court, in its Roe versus Wade decision, legalized abortions during a trimester approach. Also, Lyndon Johnson died at his ranch on the same day, 1973.
I was thinking of Leigh from Dallas. She said Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon, LBJ. On this date in 1995, Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy died at the Kennedy compound. She was how old?
97.
She's got to be her 90s.
Buck
I'm
four.
Going, no.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Rose had some longevity going. Yeah.
Good genes.
Buck four. It was one of those ones, you know, they all have the obits ready and all the TV stations and newspapers.
All the packages,
the
Rose packages
file
and tributes.
Had been done for like 20
30
years.
Yeah.
They were ready. They were ready for that.
She had good luck there in the family.
Longevity. True. On this date, 1998.
Dan, can I ask you a quick question? Does the Globe have, like, you know, half a dozen obits ready to go on certain people?
Oh, yeah.
Half a dozen.
Sick.
Probably 100.
Sometimes the author of the obit dies before the subject of the obit, which is always kind of weird when your obit's written by a dead man.
It'd be kind of weird to have that type of job where you know you're writing about dead people and it's like going to be bad karma. It's going to come back and bite you.
Yeah.
But the file cabinet or cabinets where those used to be kept in a newspaper lexicon, that was called the morgue. That's where you kept all your filed obits ready to go.
Wow.
Just awaiting that one paragraph where you know,
more creepier.
Sticking the cause of death.
Time and location?
Yeah, yeah.
On this date in 1998, Theodore Kaczynski pleaded guilty in Sacramento to being the Unabomber.
Brother ratted him out.
And he's in the Supermax in Denver or near Denver.
Yeah.
Because one of my nieces, her boyfriend's one of the guards for that guy.
Oh.
You know, still sees the guy every day. On this date in 2008, Heath Ledger was found dead of an accidental prescription overdose in a New York City apartment.
Yeah, that one. You ever seen his daughter?
No.
Spitting image of him.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Looks just like him.
On this date, 1946, Harry Truman set up the CIA. On this date last year, President Donald Trump signed a bill reopening the government after a 69-hour shutdown.
Oh, well.
Be some symmetrical.
Maybe you could open it back up today.
There. Get it open by Sunday. Yeah, that's all I care about.
If we could get those TSA workers on
paid. Oh, my God. By Hartsfield Airport. We need it for Hartsfield Airport. We do.
I heard Monday's going to be a treat down there.
The day after the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be something. That'll be good.
Yeah.
Fred's an expert on it. It says one security area to go through. Single.
The last thing I have.
Well, that's always the case in Atlanta.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, you funnel everyone through one security checkpoint.
God. 9 years ago today was the last Conan O'Brien Tonight Show.
Well,
that was short-lived.
I forgot he was even
on it. What a great run that was.
Never missed it.
They screwed it all up.
Had all those great moments from it that I can't remember.
Well, they messed it all up because as soon as they gave it to him, they gave Jay Leno the 10 o'clock hour.
Oh, yeah.
And allowed him to, like, book the A-list guests. They set him up for failure.
Yeah, thank you. Finish my sentence. Set him up for failure.
So that's all
talented
I got for January 22.
I got a couple extras. All the right. Boeing 747 had its first flight. Ooh. On this day in 1970. Went from,
I remember that.
It was a Pan Am jumbo jet from New York to London. The CIA was set up on this day in 1946 by Harry Truman.
I might have mentioned that.
Yeah, right. He did mention
you
that.
Did?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I missed that when I was listening for it, too.
You were typing something really loud. Hardy.
Queen Victoria died on this day, 1901.
I deemed her not worthy.
David Edward Hughes died on this day in 1900. You know what his claim to fame is?
Nope.
Co-inventor of the microphone.
Ooh. That's a good one.
He's crucial for this thing.
This date in baseball history. 1953, the year of our Lord, Argyle R. Mackey warns alien players they will face deportation if found jumping U.S. professional contracts. The Commissioner of Immigration and Naturalization cites the McCarran-Walter Act as the basis of his decision.
Wow.
Go ahead and insert your own build that wall
that
joke right there.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
And one here for this is for Zoe. Because, Zoe, I will all but guarantee you and I both watched this show in reruns. It debuted in 1972. I believe it was very short-lived in terms of its actual primetime run. See if you can identify this show, which, again, I will guarantee you, you and I both watch.
What's the era?
From this theme song. 1972.
Oh, Emergency 51. Emergency 52.
Emergency is correct.
The fire trucks, the big square ones. I told you about that, man. I always wanted to be a fireman.
Wait, this was one of Zoe's favorite shows. He's talked about this before.
My grandfather used to take me to see fire trucks. Like, we would always do that. It's awesome, man.
Emergency 51. Yeah. That was the name of the show.
Oh, it was actually on for 6 seasons. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Squad 51 was the fire squad in the show.
Yeah, they used to go down a fire pole. I got me so excited, and then I wanted one of those SWAT vans, the black ones, and the guys with all the guns. Remember, you used to have the G.I. Joe figures, but Hardy, remember those with you got the real machine gun, plastic little machine gun you put in your hands? That was badass.
Starring Robert Fuller, Julie London, Bobby Troop, Randolph Mantooth.
There were some good shows on that.
That was a good show. That was one of my favorites. Wow, so there you go.
I am like a little kid, like going nuts when those trucks come down right out of that fire station.
I think they started calling Emergency 51 maybe in syndication. You know how they'll change the name of a show slightly to differentiate it from if it's still on the air. So that's probably
love that show.
All right, then that's it for me.
Okay, Dan.
I'll see you guys in Atlanta.
You're 3 minutes late, pal.
I know. I'm kind of running over
for overtime.
But Atlanta next week. We'll do
all right, pal.
Okay,
see you, buddy.
See you probably next Tuesday. Perfect. Dan. See you next Tuesday.
You guys taking mittens? Is he gone?
Volan gonna be there?
Hey, how many people the Globe sent it? 13? Cover this one?
Why do you guys send so many people?
Complete coverage. Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line MA.org.